we're going to look at peace. And you can go to John chapter 14. Peace is one of the first things they bring up at the birth of Jesus Christ, which people are celebrating this time of year. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. But God is actually called the God of peace. Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. The gospel, which we've all thankfully believed, that's called the gospel of peace. And it's something that we get to enjoy in our lives is peace and this tranquility, this harmony with God. But it's something that is actually really misunderstood and misrepresented a lot of times by the age that we live in. Like, the world's idea of peace is more like a ceasefire. Like, when nations make peace, they're not becoming allies and they're not becoming in harmony with each other. It's more like, I'm watching you to make sure that you don't try to attack us. As long as you don't, we won't. That's not really peace. That's like a ceasefire. And then a way that the world really talks about peace is that there's peace is a higher state of mind that you can get to, you know, by doing certain things and by being a certain way. And it's, you know, we have certain things like meditation that, well, that'll give you a higher state of mind of peace. Or like all these different programs and things. Well, if you get the right job, you'll have peace in your life. You'll have peace of mind because you have security, because you have money, because you have the right health care, because you have the right... And all these different things that are supposed to bring this resting tranquility to your life. And really what's really cool is we're not, as a Christian, we don't have to look for peace and try to find peace and attain to peace. We already have it. John 14, verse 25. I'm not even there yet, sorry. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you." This is Jesus Christ on his last evening with them. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And what's really neat, that Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is peace for us. So when the Holy Spirit came, that brought peace to our lives. So because we have God's Spirit, we have actually the capacity for peace in all measures and in all ways. Now, if you're a natural man without Spirit, you actually don't have the capacity for real peace. You know, it says in Romans 3 when it's saying like how bad mankind is and how rebellious mankind is and how unrighteous mankind is. It says the way of peace they have not known. It's just not a part of their lifestyle. But now that we have Holy Spirit, peace is in every capacity, in every measure we can have it, because the Holy Spirit has brought it to us. And I like that he tells them, I give you peace, but not like the world gives. So the world gives a peace, right? But is that Jesus Christ saying, that's not the peace I'm giving you. Because a lot of times we'll find out, well, to get this peace of mind with my whatever it is, to be a certain way, act a certain way, have a certain thing, attain... And then you might get there and find out that that peace of mind really isn't there. There's a famous saying, more money, more problems, right? you attain to something, you get there, and then, well, that's just got more problems to it, or that's got more pressures to it. But my peace, his was a true peace, because it was coming from Holy Spirit. Go to John 16. So he's telling him this because he's about to give his life, and remember he says, don't be troubled, don't be afraid. That's not part of peace either. Troubles, pressures, fear. John 16, it says in verse 32, "Behold, the hour comes, yea, now is come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and you shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So he hadn't really truly accomplished everything yet for mankind, but he's telling his disciples, and now we get to read about it, that what he was going to do would overcome the world and would give us peace. So as a Christian, if we're looking for this peace and trying to find this peace, we already have it. You have Holy Spirit, that's peace in your life because God is in you. God is working with you. to do his pleasure, to do his goodwill. And Jesus Christ's accomplishments, that is peace. And it says, I like that it says, in the world, you'll have tribulations. You know what tribulation is? Pressure. Pressing together. That's what you'll find there. So they might say, well, here's a peace. The world might say, here's peace. But really what it is it's pressure. It doesn't bring harmony with God or tranquility or rest or acquiescence. Go to Romans 5, please, or Romans 4, rather. Again, sometimes, too, what you'll hear Christians say is peace is available, but you have to get to a certain, like a higher state of mind, of meditation, and then you'll really have peace. But what we're seeing is, well, Holy Spirit came, there's peace. In Jesus Christ, there's peace. We already have it, and it keeps talking about it here. It says in verse 25, who, Jesus Christ, was delivered over for our offenses and was raised again, and it would be because of our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So it says that we're justified. And to be justified means you're right. You're righteous before God. You're just before God. According to his standards and what he considers to make someone perfect before him, that's what we are. And because we're justified, we have peace with God. Isn't that kind of wild? Because if we weren't justified before him, we would be unjust before him, unrighteous. And so there'd be a cause for hostility. And if you read before this in Romans, there was a cause for hostility. Because it says nobody was righteous, no, not one. The way of peace they have not known. They don't seek God. They don't fear God. And that was us before we believed on Jesus Christ. And what's kind of neat, again, this peace is not a ceasefire. It's not, well, you're just waiting for God to get angry at you at the next thing you do bad. It's your before him, you're not bad. You may do something that's not good, but you are good before him. You are right with him. We might not always live like that, but in our status with him, there's always peace. There's always harmony. There's never strife. And what's really sad is sometimes, and it's a cool thing we get to, if we believe it in our hearts, we can help other people with, is that they want to love God and serve God, but they feel like God's always angry with them. They feel like God's always, there's always some sort of separation because, you know, they're just not living up to the standards of what they could be. And that we can live to those standards, but the truth is, no matter how you live, how God sees you is you're right before him, you're just before him. And so there's no strife. And it keeps going. In verse 6, this is the type of people that God made peace with. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some people would dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it says ungodly, which is like against God. It says sinners. It says, you know, not righteous. Well, we weren't good men. And it keeps going. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we're saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we were even enemies. And enemies are hostile, right? In Colossians it says you were hostile in your minds by wicked works. It's just everything about us was against God because we were natural. We didn't have God's nature. When we received that Holy Spirit, peace, not like the world gives, but true peace with God. So now, because I have Holy Spirit, because I'm just before him, I'm righteous before him, I'm unblameable, without blemish, holy before him, there's no separation and there's no strife. Even if my actions would cause strife, he has made peace with me. And it's a really cool thing because it affects the way we live our daily lives. If we think that there's strife between us, you know, like if Perry and I had strife, we're usually not going to be on the greatest talking terms, right? We might not be so apt to get in there and help one another with something. If I think there's strife between my God and me, well, I might not be apt to seek him. I might not be apt to help, to try to serve him, to seek his direction, to seek his counsel, because I think he's got hostility toward me. It's just a peace has been accomplished. Go to Ephesians 2, please. Ephesians 2, verse 11. It says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." That was basically most people, because most of us aren't of Judean background. "But now in Christ, you who sometimes were far away are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one." The both is not, it's talking about Judeans, the people who were God's people, and then those without God, far away from God. Not nigh, us, the old Gentiles. "He's made both into one. He's broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two, one new man, so making peace." And it says Jesus Christ is our peace. And how he is our peace is that he made peace between Judean and Gentile. It's a pretty cool. We're going to get to verse 18, but from here, from verse 14 to verse 17, peace comes up four times. So four times in like three verses. Pretty neat. But this is another cool thing. So we have peace with God, Romans peace, I call that. And then there's Ephesians peace, which was there's peace with one another. You know, that's also a really opposite way that this world likes to think. We like strife and hostility in the world, and I do what best for me and look after number one. And the way that Jesus Christ set it up when he made peace, he made us one new person. We're the body of Christ, right? We're members one of another. We're joint heirs together and joint partakers and joint members of the same body. And so really, because we're all things equal between, we're sharing everything, we're inheriting everything together, we're going to be together for all of eternity, there's no hostility. And when you think about these two groups, like we don't do Judean and Gentile anymore, but Judeans, they were the chosen of God. They were God's people. They had the promises. They had the covenants. And at that time, they were basically, the Gentiles are like the dogs. They're the scum. They're the rank unbelievers. And then what Jesus Christ accomplishes, that wall that was between the two of them, that said he made them one new person. And that's peace. That's peace between us. So even in our lifestyle with one another and our dealings with one another, it should be no hostility, no strife, complete harmony. And that can be difficult. But there's a verse in Colossians 3:15 where it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, at which you are called into one body, and be thankful. It's pretty cool. So you're called into one body. The word rule, it means like be an umpire. The umpire calls the balls and strikes. He says what's right, what's wrong. You can't really argue with him much. Those managers get out there and they like, they rage it. They hate it. They hate what it is called. But what he says goes. And that's what peace in the body of Christ is. There's no hostility. So when I start thinking hostile thoughts, when I start thinking thoughts that are not according to being one person in the body of Christ, I need to bring my thinking and my heart back to peace is accomplished. There's harmony here. We're joint members. We're one new man, one new person together. And it says, keep going. Sorry, I get a little chatty. Verse 16, "And that he might reconcile both," that's those Jews, those Gentiles, "unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby," he slayed that hostility by giving his life, "and he came and he preached peace to you which were far off." That preaching peace, it means he proclaimed the gospel of peace. And then this is how this should read. "And to them that were nigh, peace. That word peace isn't in the King James, but it's actually in the Greek text. So our fourth use of peace here, you can't see it in the King James. Mm-hmm. But he proclaimed the gospel of peace that those were that were far away. But guess what he also did to those that were not? Preached peace. Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And we read about earlier that we are justified before God. We stand in grace before God. We have peace with God, the absolute end of hostility and strife. Nothing hindering, nothing between the two of us, between God and man, and now between man and man together in the one body. But what does access to God look like if there's no peace? It's hindered, right? Because there could be strife there. There could be hostility there. But now it's free and uninterrupted and unhindered because peace has come by Jesus Christ. Go to Galatians 5, please. So, like I said, the world makes it look like peace is something that you attain by something great that you do, and you become so to such a point where you're just peaceful, or you obtain a job that makes for peace, or a health care plan that makes for peace, or a retirement plan that gives peace of mind. And we already have it. It's already done. We already are peace people. But how do we get that in every day? I have peace with God, but how do I every day, experience that peace? Well, when there's unrest in my heart and my life and things are all turned up and upside down and topsy-turvy, I don't feel peaceful. We'll look a little bit about how we see that peace manifested. And it's real simple. You can probably guess once we start going. Galatians 5, we'll get a running start in verse 16. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit is basically walking in all that you have because of that Holy Spirit. Every single bit of it. Manifesting God's power, walking in righteousness, putting on the mind of Christ, and thinking according to that Spirit of God in you. All those different things. And when you do that, you don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh, the old things. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led from the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and we'll see how pleasant these are. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. Variance means strife. The way of peace have they not known. Peace is the end of strife, no hostility. Well, part of the flesh, when we start living according to to sin and to flesh and to the desires of the flesh, what we're going to have is strife. emulations, wrath, strife. This is factious strife, meaning it's strife that's so strong it divides people into factions. What do we read about in Ephesians? No hostility. One new person, so making peace. Well, this other way, when we're living like the world, that strife can go so far that it puts people into different groups against each other. It's kind of wild. Seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and keeps on going. Of which I tell you before, as I've told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, there's our word, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So peace comes when you're walking by the Spirit. I like that it doesn't call it a work of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So when I'm living and walking according to the Spirit of God that I have, an outgrowth of that is that I have peace. It's not something that I'm working to obtain. I'm working to obtain peace. No, that's not what it is. It's that I'm walking in all these things that I have. I'm thinking according to these things. I'm living according to these things. And that's how peace is manifested. It's a fruit of it. And that's a real simple thing, but that's the truth. And a lot of times we get it backwards and we think, well, we got to really get to the point where we achieve peace by a higher state of spirituality. But really, having Spirit gives you peace. And then when you're walking according to that peace, it's a virtuous cycle where you have peace and it brings more peace. Like it says, faith is one of those things, right? How do you get Holy Spirit? By faith. Okay, then what do you have when you're walking by Holy Spirit? More faith. Isn't that kind of cool? So it starts with it, it produces it, and it's a part of it. Let's go to Philippians 4. You might be familiar with this one as well. This is second to last verse here, Philippians 4. It talks about in Romans 8 to be carnally minded, you know, like fleshly minded, is death. That's great. But to be spiritually minded, or if my thinking is from and according to the Spirit of God that I have, it says it's life and it's peace. But Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, be careful, or that's be anxious, right? Don't be overly concerned for nothing. So the first thing we have to ask ourselves is it a thing? If it's a thing, don't be overly concerned about it. Don't be anxious. Be careful for no thing. But in everything, so the second question we have to ask is it still a thing? Okay. So if it is a thing, we're not anxious. If it's still a thing, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, or the peace that comes from God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds, your thinking in Christ Jesus. That's how that reads. And so one of the great ways that we see peace manifested in our lives is we walk by the Holy Spirit. And when there is times of anxiety, unrest, hostility, you know, pressures, different things that we deal with, well, our first reaction, our first response should be to give it to God in prayer. He cares for us. We give our cares to Him. And I like that it says thanksgiving there, because that's a key part of it. God's not, I mean, God is like an emergency God. If you turn to Him in the worst parts of your life, He'll be there for you. But, you know, He's not like a sugar daddy. You know what I mean? He just gets you everything you want. But it's grateful, thankful. So if our lifestyle is prayer to Him, but we're going to Him first and foremost because we're so thankful and so grateful for everything that He's done, well, that's how we approach Him. And then anxieties, things that we're worried about, things that are concerns on our heart, things that are eating away at the peace that we have in our lives because of Holy Spirit and because of Jesus Christ, we give that to God. And it says peace comes from God. Now, how does He do that? You have Holy Spirit. He's working in you. He can comfort and encourage your heart in ways that, you know, the peace that the world gives cannot do. And it says it passes all understanding. The peace of God passes all understanding. And that's not in the sense of like, well, you just can't understand it. Peace is something that you just feel and you never really truly know what it is. It means it's actually a better way to think. That's what that how that could read. It's a better way to think. It's a better way to think than being anxious, being hostile toward God, you know, being scared, being fearful, being troubled. Peace is a better way to think. You know, and like I said, like we want to see that in our lives. One of the first things we have to see in our lives is that we're righteous before God. If we never really truly believe that we are holy, that we are righteous, that He loves us, that there's nothing we could ever do to mar our relationship with Him, we will have peace because there's no hostility. There's nothing separating. Everything is so good. Everything is so wonderful. And so it says, this peace from God, it's a better way of thinking, and it shall keep, it will guard your hearts and thinking in Christ Jesus. So one of the great things God wants us to do when we have anxiety is to keep our hearts and our thinking in Christ Jesus. That's where we want to stay. Go to to close, we'll just go to Romans chapter 16. Now there's this fella that's in the world that kind of runs the town. He's the prince of this world. He's the god of this age. And he's already been defeated. He made a big mistake when he crucified Jesus Christ, because when he crucified Jesus Christ, he actually brought his own end upon him. At that time, Jesus Christ accomplished all things for the reconciliation of man to God, for the reconciliation of all things to God, including this God of this age, the adversary, the devil. And he is still around. And he knows lots of things about us. He knows that we're righteous. He knows that we have Holy Spirit. He knows that, you know, we are one new man. We are this body of Christ. The mystery has been revealed. He knows all these things. So what he likes to do is get behind those things that the world says are really peaceful for us and will really bring us, you know, tranquility in our lives and acquiescence and restful thinking. And he likes to get behind those things and he shakes it all up and he presents certain things. And so he's really a big source of unrest because what he's trying to do is shake up everything that we already have. And there's this cool verse that I like to keep in mind. It says in chapter 16, verse 20, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." And it's kind of ironic that it's like it calls him the God of peace, and then that bruising is actually a crushing. He's a peaceful God, and he's going to crush Satan under your feet shortly. And so all those times of unrest, we have to remember where those things are coming from. The accuser of the brethren who's stirring up unrest for people who really do have peace. We may have difficult times. We do have difficult circumstances. There are times of sorrow and pain. But that doesn't change that we have peace with God, that we have harmony with God, that we have harmony one with another, that peace can rule in our lives. And we float above all that pressure because we have real peace of mind and real peace from God working in us. So that's what I want to share with you. And the God of peace shall crush Satan under your feet shortly. That's it.
All righty. Thank you very much.